off the ball breakfast.
I'm trying to go. Is that to our advantage?
Would you
or theirs?
Prefer the murmur of conversation and debate?
Shush!
You're the one who hates shushing the kicker.
Live every weekday morning from 7:30 on your smart speaker. Just ask Alexa to play OTB Sports Radio.
Hello, listeners of the Koi Gig podcast. Kathleen McNamee here with a little bit of something different than what we normally do on the podcast. I was out at the FAI headquarters today in Abbottstown, where the national team gathered for their first ever training session under Carla Ward and her new management team. And as part of that, we were able to have a bit of a chat with new assistant manager Alan Mahon. And I know we don't normally post press conferences here, but it was just a really interesting conversation, and I think it gave a really good insight into him and what he's going to bring to the team, and also what we can expect from Carla Ward. So I thought you might enjoy it, so have a listen.
Football on Off the Ball with William Hill. Who you got? 18 plus. See gamblingcare.ie.
Welcome.
Thank you, Tony.
Give me your first impressions of the squad and the setup. Is this the first full training session?
This is the first full training session today. So it's been very good. Obviously, we've had the extra day of rest yesterday, so we got the girls to come in and kind of settle down a bit. So we normally train match day plus one, or we've been training yesterday, but we give them the extra day off, and I think it benefited them, really. So, yeah, it's been okay. So far, so good.
How did the appointment come about?
I got a phone call off Carla around the Christmas time when she was going through the process, and I'd been speaking to her for ages, and that was it, really. I was kind of half based in Ireland. Long story short, I was looking after my mother, so I was actually in Ireland, and the timing was actually quite right, to be fair. It was really nice.
And tell me about Manchester City. You did a long time there, 10 years.
Yeah.
How would you describe the setup for the women's game at City? Is it as elite as the men's side, or is it integrated?
It's very integrated. They've really pushed, and I think that was the whole premise of the women's team at Man City. It was obviously changed the perception. Obviously, it was well funded, and it's progressed, as you've seen over the years. The standard and the levels of the game in the WSL have really increased.
When you look at the Ireland team recently, obviously the defeat against Wales is the most recent game. What do you think Carla and you and the rest of the coaching team can do to improve them?
I think that the squad itself is a strong squad, like, you know. So it's down to us, and obviously with Carla, with our tactical awareness and some of the stuff we'll do technically, just to try and enhance what's already being built.
Is there a job to do to convince some of the players that you and Carla are the right team for the job?
I think when you're a player, you're playing for your country. I think all the players will put it in 100%. I think that's down to us. Then obviously it's the coaching side of the stuff to make sure it's right, and they get all the information that's needed for them. But I think when you're playing international football, I think you just focus on being the best version of yourself as a player, which they all do. No problem. Thank you.
Kathleen.
How are you?
Kathleen from Off the Ball. Nice to meet you.
Your
name, obviously, with the City connection has been associated with the women's team for a long time because it's such a good pedigree in the game. Why is now the right time for you to come in and be part of this setup?
I just think it was all about timing, like most things in life. And like I said, I'd left City last June to come back to look after my mum. So it was just the timing of it was all right, like, you know. So, I just think I believe in stuff like that. It happened for the right reason. And my time at City, I believe, was actually, we'd actually kind of gone a separate way, as in new changes. And I think with that, you kind of go a bit stale. And I felt I wasn't kind of progressing. So I just wanted to kind of change the scenery, and with my mum, the way she was, I just thought it's actually quite a nice time to take a step back and kind of enjoy other things at that time, like, you know.
Yeah. And what are the elements of international coaching versus club coaching that you're most looking forward to? Because it's very different in that you don't have the game.
To be honest, with the girls anyway, for years I was watching a young Jessie Stapleton coming through. I was watching Tyler, so I was actually keeping a check on the young players at Man City anyway, to see what young up-and-comers were about. So I'll be going to watch a lot of games, probably more now than I would have when I was at full-time with City, because obviously it's day-to-day and you've got games the weekend. So it'll give me a bit more time to build rapport with the players and actually go to see them on their own turf, so to speak.
obviously the team's in a bit of a transitionary period at the moment. We've had a couple of retirements after not qualifying for the Euros. We also have like a lot of young, exciting players in there, some injured at the moment, some into the squad. Is there anyone in particular on the younger side that you really have impressed you or that you're looking forward to working with and helping them develop their talents?
Without going into too many names individually, there's a great group of players there and some young, really good young players coming through. But like I mentioned before, I had seen Jessie before and she'd always excited me. She's a top talent. But there is a conveyor belt of young players coming through, and that's up to us as an organisation. Which we're doing is actually progressing and making the women's team stronger from homegrown players, which is something that we're looking forward to doing.
And like from the previous setup, it was always something that was noted was how involved everyone was on the sidelines during the games. You know, you'd have Colin up there talking to players if they were over, you'd have Evan Byrne who's still in there with the squad.
Yeah.
How do you see that dynamic working with yourself and the rest of the assistant coaches?
It's the same setup. Obviously, I'll be giving information. Carla will be giving the main information. Emma, with her experience, will be giving information. And so will Amber. I think as many voices, the players here, on an individual basis. We do a lot of 1v1s and a lot of individual development plans. So I think it's just getting the players used to us and going about that way, really.
Thank you
very much. Thank you.
Hi, Alan. How are you?
Amory from Virginia. How are you, Amory? Okay.
Now
that you've keeping an eye on the team over the last few years, as you said yourself, if you were to kind of point out some of the differences and how yourself and Carla want the team to move forward compared to the last manager, the manager before, what would you say they would be?
I think obviously with Carla and the way she wants to play attacking football, I won't go into too much about the previous stuff because I don't know too much about it, to be honest. But I think for us, and especially I set up, I like attacking football, I like possession based football, but ultimately goals will win games, so we have to make sure we're scoring. So with the players we have, and depending on who comes into the squad, injuries and all that, we'll work accordingly, like, you know. But we want to play nice football, but we want to win games. Some of those hallmarks of Carla's kind of career, the nice football, the high energy stuff, does that marry up with what you've been doing at City as well?
Well, funny enough, every time we played against Carla at Villa, she always made it difficult for us, and that was one of the reasons that made it kind of appealing to me, because I always felt that sometimes at City we might have got complacent thinking that was fairly easy. But against Villa, it was actually always a tough game, and she always set up accordingly. So, yeah, I'm looking forward to work with Carla. I love her ideas. I just can't wait to get started.
As Kathleen was saying there, there's been a couple of retirements of really experienced players over the last few weeks. Really, it's such a young squad now. Are you conscious that there's a bit of a lack of experience in the team now?
I wouldn't worry about that too much, because I think what happens is when an older player leaves the group, you'll find that someone will gravitate or someone will kind of step up, and there's a lot of voices in there. People watch all the time, so you get to see people that take charge, and there's a good group of girls there, and they're passionate about the country and wanting to win, and you'll find that people will step into them positions.
Okay, so thanks.
Thanks very much.
Sure. Yeah, this job has come up sort of twice in the last 8 months after Vera went. Did you expect any interest in becoming manager?
No. I kind of knew my role. I'm comfortable where I am. It wasn't something that I was pushing for. And at the first time, I wasn't interviewed. I hadn't done anything for it. So I was happy at City. And like I said, timing is everything. And I'm a big believer in that. Throughout my career, things just happen when they happen, and whatever happens at that time, I go with it, and I'm very lucky to be in the position I'm in now.
And do you want to become a manager?
I'm happy where I am. At this moment, I'm still kind of in a phase where I link up with a manager. So I'm happy with a manager in front of me. I've always been in number two. I'm happy being in number two at the moment. Fast forward 4 or 5 years or whatever it is, it may be different, but as it stands now, I'm quite comfortable in my skin and my role within that.
Just your
city,
you mentioned
Troy out here,
I think you also had
Megan.
Meg,
Aoife.
And
O'Tara.
You mentioned Jesse.
Young Jesse, yeah. Detroit
Swinner?
We looked at Jesse, yeah, but obviously we had to make sure we walked around the rules and the system in England, and she made a decision. And you know what? I know her dad really well, Noel, and that they're a good family. So I wish them all the best. And like I said, she's playing football now with Sunderland. She's getting a bit of experience. Brilliant.
And going back further, Katie.
Katie's a top player, and I we did inquire about her a few times, but it just, again, timing, it wasn't for Katie at the time, and wasn't for us whenever it happened, and just it just never happened. But it would have been a player that we'd have been really interested in. I see.
So this is your first time to work
her? Yeah, no, I've seen her. Obviously, we've also had a bit of a and natter during games, and again against City and Arsenal, they've always been big games. So we've always enjoyed that kind of battle. So yeah, it's kind of the fourth time I'm working with her. So yeah, it's something I'm looking forward to.
Thanks
very much.
How are you, Gavin? Comes even the time.
How are you, Gavin? You okay?
Just you kind of touched on it there. You have a specific style that you and Carla have joined with. How much are you asking the players to take on in this camp? Because Carla has said it's going to be a move away from how they previously played.
Yeah.
Are you asking them to take on a lot, or?
You can't. We don't have the players for that long, so I think it's important that you don't overwhelm them.
Yeah.
They're used to people, new people coming in. There's going to be apprehension, so understandably, there's no point in giving them all the information. This is something that you have to build, and will come a time. So you kind of drip feed the important stuff at the start, and then as time goes on, you build that relationship with them, and you also kind of develop it as time goes on. Then
is there? Have you got a specific team in mind? I'm sure you're going to get to a case where you're playing 10, 11, 12 people all the time, maybe. Have you got a specific team in place for this week?
To be honest, today was just about seeing how the players come in and tested, and obviously there's certain kind of players that may have had little injuries or whatever else. We're just looking at the moment. We've got a broad team, so to speak, but that's always subject to change.
Sure.
No, thank you.
Alan, can I go down a rabbit hole and talk about your own career?
Oh, Jesus, it won't take long.
Well, I'll go off left or right.
Of course,
I wouldn't mind. I know you're here as Irish assistant manager, but you had a very distinguished playing career. If I could touch upon one or two things today.
Yeah, of course not.
The League Cup is coming up now next month. It's a bit late. It's Liverpool and Newcastle. You had some great days in the League Cup. I was just thinking, you played in the League Cup final, you were sub in the League Cup final, and you nearly played for a double with Wigan. Talk us about those three cup finals.
To be honest, I found myself very lucky. The foursome was Cranmer when I was a kid. Although I didn't expect to get into the final, but we did. Unfortunately, we got beat 2-1, and then the following year, I think it was Blackburn. I'd gone to Sporting, then I came back to Blackburn, and I went with Blackburn.
Duff there,
great team, a really good team. We beat Tottenham 2-1 that day. I was on the bench, but no, again, I'm a realist. I was never that player, but I was never that player. So I was happy, and I knew my level. But I'm very, very proud of the stuff that I've come out and I've actually managed to achieve in my career. I'm a local lad in Dublin, from Rialto, around the corner, so not really much went on in that area. And just to be on the map to play for Ireland, or to play in a cup final. And back then, by the way, there's no internet. So I think the biggest thing to tell your mum and dad was, I might be on Match of the Day.
Yeah.
That was like the goal. The goal back then was to get on Match of the Day. There's no goals as in houses or cars or watches. It was just basically to be on Match of the Day. That was like a driver for us back then.
Back in the 90s, he only just retired, he was still playing.
He was,
David Kelly was there.
Oh, the guy. Liam had just left. Liam O'Brien had just left.
You know, John Murphy was still
big
playing.
Joe. Yeah, big John Murphy, yeah,
that's right. For Tranmere to get to where they are, I mean, I know they're struggling a bit now, but it was a special time there, wasn't it?
Well, we were a championship team. Yeah. With the old championship, it was the old fourth division. I think they just went down to camaraderie. We just had good players that were honest players and just wanted to work together. I think sometimes that's half the battle. Yeah. We weren't the most talented group of players, but we just worked together and kind of ground out results, and wasn't always pretty, but got a cup final, kind of runners-up medal enough.
Yeah.
Not to kind of time for it.
And one other thing on that, just the Wigan thing. You were, I think you were still at Wigan or just about to leave Wigan when they played Man United.
Yeah.
Jewel, for some reason, he didn't.
Yeah, yeah.
Things didn't work out there.
Yeah.
But were you there that day?
I travelled, and again, being part of the team, I think. Just to be involved, whether it was on the bench, whether it was starting, I was actually just happy. And I wasn't the type that would cause ructions to the day of the cup final. So we had a conversation after that, and that's when I think I left from there to go to Burnley.
Yeah.
But magic times at Wigan with some really good people, really good staff, and again, memories that are really fond for me. Like I said, I never realised getting into football, you just do it for the enjoyment. Like I said, I started off football, and believe it or not, I was going to be a Sparky. My dad said, if you don't make it in England, come back, you can be a Sparky. That wouldn't have worked out because I'm colour blind, so
I don't think you'd want me doing your
so
house.
Are very, very precious these days.
Not when you're colourblind, though. Turn the kettle on, your phone rings. Yeah. That'd have been it. But yeah, like I said, it was just an adventure. And like I said, I always kind of had a good family around me that kept me grounded. And it was always one of those that doesn't work out. You come back, you get back into the family, the kin, so to speak, and you crack on. But I'm very fortunate. I hold my hand up and I actually thank my lucky stars. I've managed to carve out a career. I know, like I said, some players have done that, some players have done this, but I'm proud of what I've done up to today.
Just another one before I disappear down another rabbit hole. But you played at Wembley. You played at Giant Stadium. I remember being there that night.
Yes, yeah.
And you started that game.
We did, yeah.
Was that your career high, or one of the career highs, to walk out on an Irish team, at that venue, of all those venues, you know, wearing the Irish shirt?
I'd give you everything back. I'd give you every medal. Just have that. Playing for Ireland, like, growing up, when I grew up, was like the 90s, and again, some people won't realise this, but like, Ireland stood still. If you can remember, it stood still. There was parties, there was an excitement, there was, the country kind of just grew. I think we just grew from that period of 88, 1990. So I would give back everything, just have that one cap. You're standing in front of your home crowd at Lansdowne, and the hairs on your neck are going up. You can't beat that. That's what it's all about, like, you know.
And finally,
is this a rabbit hole, or are we all right?
I can
get out.
Tranmere, just finally, you're probably keeping an eye on them. They're not going too well now. You end up going back there, and you finish your career there.
Yeah.
You still keep an eye on the results there.
Yeah, of course. I'm not too far from there, to be honest. Like, when I landed in England, it was like one of those where they felt safe. I'd left a kind of close-knit family in Dublin. So when I went to England, I went to an Irish lady who was a digs lady. Actually, she looked after me. So I kind of stayed in that area, Chester, the Wirral.
Yeah.
And I've been there for the last 30 years, like, you know.
Hopefully they can stay with
me. Yeah, I do keep in touch with them. They're a really good team, and like I said, I've got a closeness with them.
Yeah.
So yeah, I always keep an eye out. They're not doing that great, but I'm sure they'll bounce back.
Thanks, Alan.
Thanks very much. Thank you,
Alan. Sorry, Gary from the start. When you hear the anthem before your first game,
yeah,
back, what's that going to feel like for you?
It's emotional. I think we were chatting about it today, me and Gar. Like, even now, it's hard to explain for people that probably don't understand. And like, it's not about, it's just when I was brought up, there was something that I was really passionate about. And obviously, I remember years ago, I used to be a lounge boy in one of the pubs in Rialto, and I used to get played. I'd get played at 12 o'clock. Everyone would stop. Like, you know what I mean? That was part of the culture when I was growing up. So to have that in your kind of DNA, it's always important. It's always kind of emotional.
Does it mean more because you lived away from home? So
yeah, of course it does. You're always kind of thinking you're missing out on stuff. So when you go to England, you tend to watch more Irish films than probably Irish people watch. Like, because you're trying to just keep immersed in what's going on. So yeah, you're always looking back to what people are doing over here, and how the family are, and how your mates are doing. Like, you know.
And when you say emotional, what emotions are triggered?
Yeah, well, you think about all sorts of, my family, my mum and dad. These are things that are, like, important to me.
Yeah.
So when you hear it, it really kind of resonates and hits a note.
Yeah.
You know?
There was no Lewis and Rialto back then.
There was a 19 bus into town, wasn't it?
Dave Kelly from Richie Corr and the Indo. How was your mum, by the way?
Unfortunately, she passed away Stephen's today.
Sad. What was her name?
Maureen.
Talk about her,
I've got to be careful.
Okay.
Just for a second.
You can leave it.
Thank you.
I need to jump up into something else.
Yes.
Obviously, a few of the players are very unhappy about what happened to your predecessor.
Yeah.
On a personal, professional level, now you're in this job.
Yeah.
What are your thoughts around that in terms of how you need to be with the group, and just maybe the difficulty possibly in coming into that role?
To be honest, because my head was elsewhere, I didn't kind of know too much about it, if I'm being honest, Dave, and that's not me trying to... I didn't know too much about it. And again, my role was coming in here, and obviously looking forward to what we're doing. So that's it, really. The girls have been brilliant the last couple of days, but I didn't know too much about it.
How did yesterday's meeting go in terms of that? Because it was the first gathering, I know. And
yeah.
It was a very important congregation of the squad.
Yeah.
A couple of them have been very unhappy with the FBI. Did you get a sense of togetherness in terms of what you guys want to do on the field?
Yeah. To be honest, we're playing table tennis, and football is kind of strange.
Huh?
Not in the meeting.
No, that was after. I'm having myself as a bit of a player. But no, I think in the meeting was more about us as people, obviously introducing ourselves and what we are and what we stand for, organising the rest of the staff, and obviously then the scheduling, what it looks like. But there wasn't any kind of talk about that. It was like just what we're doing. I think that's the way we're looking at the moment, like, you know.
Yeah, the hope would be to draw a line under everything, because it's still a public concern, obviously, in some players. And moving to these games and get a good start.
Football just moves on. The players themselves, they're professional. They'll be fine. For us, it was more like just getting in yesterday, meeting the players as we have, and just getting to know them, and just kind of, that was it really. So there was we didn't get a sense of anything. It was just first meeting. It was actually nice to meet up with some of the players I hadn't seen for a while, young Tyler, and some of the players that I hadn't actually met apart from opposition when you come up against them. But yeah, it was fine.
That's cool. Just in Quinners Rapids, obviously Tranmere being where it is, was there a kind of an Irish sense from your brief involvement the national team? Was there a kind of an Irish kind of feel to it, that kind of Club Ireland, you know what I mean? The players, the coaches always talk about that kind of sense of that.
At Tranmere.
Club atmosphere, yeah.
I think it was
translatable, you know what I mean? That kind of sense of it's intangible, you know what I mean? But just that kind of sense of all being together, kind of underdog, scrappy.
Yeah, I think obviously with Ireland they're a lot more professional and better technical. They got better technical skills than the players I had with Tranmere back in the day, if I'm being honest. But yeah, like I said, when I came to England first, it was that because there wasn't any sort of, they're all U-team players in Tranmere at the time. A lot of them, apart from like the David Kelly, most of us came through the ranks, which is why my dad said you're going there instead of wherever it was, Leeds or Chelsea, whatever, because I would get games. And That came into fruition. I went there early, maybe debut or 16. So the reason why is because they had no money. They had to produce their players, the Kenny Oranges, the Jason Kumases, the Joe Murphys, Dave Chandler's, correct. So yeah, it was that. But with Ireland, obviously the players are a lot more technical now than when I was growing up. We didn't have any tactical back in the day. It wasn't as tactical as it is now, and the players are well versed and they've got a better understanding than when I played back in Tranmere 30 years ago.
Emma, do you want to finish?
Yeah, just two quick ones on. You spoke really well there about your own career and, you know, immense football. What was it like training into the league game, or what are the kind of differences you've experienced in the last 10 years or so?
I'm a father of two girls, and to be able to, they never see me play. And I'm not one of these, I don't have jerseys hanging in my house or nothing like that. It's one of those where I'm proud of it, but it's kind of put to bed. So I think for my daughters to see me in a job that they can relate to and actually go, so we can, and kind of push, and yeah, of course you can. And that was the whole change of perception of that. And so for me, it was an easy transition. I had no connotations about going into men's football, women's football. For me, it was the opportunity, and it was a fantastic opportunity. And at Man City, they really, really looked after us as staff, as players. So for me, it was an honour. It was like, I actually found myself quite lucky for the opportunity to come around.
Yeah, I believe it was just an opportunity that came up through someone.
Yeah, well, at the time it was, I think it was 2013, 2014, women's football hadn't kind of kicked off. I think it was semi-pro. I think there was only Steph Howe and Jill Scott, Karen Barsley that were full-time. The rest of them they had separate jobs, and we had to accommodate the training around them. So it was about helping them initially just get the kind of feet under the table and kind of understand the role of a professional footballer, which is obviously built over the last 10 years, like, you know.
And then lastly, Dave touched on it. I know there's obviously been a lot of noise around the FAI and whatnot. I know even Manning yesterday spoke about the association wanting to be open and inclusive organisation. Is that something that concerned you coming in, or have you found everything all good so far?
What do you mean by that one? Sorry.
I just mean, you know, she spoke about in the wake of the colony situation in particular, there's been a lot of noise around the FAI. Were there any concerns coming in?
Not at all. No, sorry. For me, there's no concerns at all. Like I said, for me, I don't know what happened again. But again, as an opportunity arose for me, I jumped at the chance. Of course, there's not many times you get a chance to help in a national team, and yeah, for the opportunity, I was delighted. So I had no apprehension about it. I had no worries about it. I was just desperate to get on the pitch. It just seemed like it was ages between camps. That was my only worry, is that in between camps, but I missed the day today.
But I think I've seen his schedule with games, and I'll be spending a bit of time over in Ireland now watching the young players coming through, that I'm actually quite happy with how things have worked out.
Did you enjoy yourself out on the grass earlier?
No, we didn't, no. The problem is the brain and the body don't work together anymore, so I think tonight I've been all sorts of trouble. But listen, it's just great to be a part of it, and sometimes you might have to dip in, dip out, which is fine. You just adapt, which is something that we have to do. But it's just good to get the first day out of the way and make sure the girls are all okay. They go in, make sure that they check up on any niggles or any sort of ailments, and just crack on from there, really.
Sorry, one more.
Yeah, no problem.
On the manager to play under.
Yeah.
Souness, Jewel, Kyle, Mick McCarthy, Garrett Taylor.
Yeah.
You've picked a lot there along the way. There's a lot of brains to pick in there, and a lot of things that you've heard.
Some would say, yeah.
You filter probably some of them. You kept some. You threw some away. Any manager in particular that you went, yeah, I'm going to bring that one. I go to coach.
To be honest, I had you named Lowe's, and it's been some really good managers in my career. You've mentioned some of them there, but I had a guy. There's two. One called John King that not many people know about.
Tranmere, legend
on the world, an absolute god, and he had a way of making you do what he wanted to do without shouting at you. So he used to call it kidology. He'd make you do what he wanted to do without actually kind of forcing you to do it. And I think that was an art in itself. I think that's just being down to a people person, actually treating people kind of right and talking to them and building relationships with them. And the second was Joe Royal, big Joe Royal. He took me to Ipswich with Willie Donaghy, and I thoroughly enjoyed it. Really enjoyed my time there. He was just a really good guy, really clever, knew the game inside out, and there was loads of like little snippets of how to get the best out of players, but also the sessions that he set up for my style of play. Because he used to call me a burst balloon. He used to say, sometimes you're just like that. So he gave me some discipline, which is something I probably needed earlier in my career, which I was thankful for when he kind of introduced it into my career. So, yeah, them two are stand to mind. But also, obviously, John and Nick, half the time you're looking at them in awe, because you got to remember, I had posters on the wall of these two guys, so you're like, ooh. But, yeah, I've been very blessed that I've had some really good managers.
I think I have to say now, Tony, have we ever heard a player call himself a burst balloon?
I was a burst balloon. That was John King. You're a burst balloon or a spinning top.
King of the
Royal. Yeah, it's a burst balloon, but that was it. I just needed discipline, that was all, rather than going here, there and everywhere. And I think they give me that, to be fair.
Your career, you kept going, you played a lot, a long time.
It's been okay. It's been okay.
Yeah. 100%. Still
in
that balloon?
Oh, well, there's little, no. I think most of went on that pitch today. The last remnants went today, so yeah.
I haven't.
What happens is in football, you sometimes a passing ship in the night, and you kind of. I seen Damien. I think he was working for the City Group, Man City, and he was out in Australia. It might have been. We met in Abu Dhabi. We were going over there. It was like a mutual thing, and I hadn't seen him since then. But fantastic guy first and foremost, and I'm absolutely delighted for him. But also a fantastic footballer. Actually, probably the best one I've played with. But a proper character as well. Good guy.
Football on off the ball with William Hill. Who you got? 18 plus. See gamblingcare.ie.